You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, August 16, 2017.
What we would try to stress to folks is, you know, first of all, thank you for your patience. You know, this has not been ideal. This is not what you planned for.
After assuring parents and teachers of a smooth start to the school year, Monroe County Community School Corporation bungled their bus service last Wednesday. WFHB News Director Wes Martin speaks with MCCSC spokesman Andrew Clampett about what the school corporation is going to get the bus system running smoothly again. That's coming up today on the Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, research shows that pass phrases are more secure than passwords. More on that coming up in a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Design plans for Indiana University Health's new Bloomington Hospital were unveiled last week. The proposed health care facility located on the 46 bypass will double as a teaching hospital for IU Health. A press release issued after IU's Board of Trustees approved design plans for the new hospital shows a sleek, multi-purpose building sitting on the current site of the IU golf course. Bloomington's current IU Health Hospital, located on 2nd Street, will move its operations into the building when it's completed. Vice President of Marketing and Community Relations for IU Health, Terry DeMottis, says the proposed design provides more space than the current location.
Well, the hospital and the outpatient services compose about 620,000 square feet, and the academic building is about 115,000 feet, so there's a total of 735,000 square feet. So the majority of the campus will be dedicated to both inpatient and outpatient care, but we will have students and faculty integrated within the patient care setting as well.
IU Health currently has a budget of $344 million for their portion of the facility. DeMottis says that there are no concrete plans yet for the site of the current hospital building after the move.
For the current location, we are working closely with the City of Bloomington and the Mayor's office to determine how this property might be used in the future. We commit to being a good corporate citizen. We are not going to leave an eyesore here in the middle of Bloomington. So we will continue to work with the mayor and as well as our community to get input on what should happen. But we do have quite a bit of time still before we will be vacating. You know, it will be 2020 or so before we leave this. It will take a while for this building to be, you know, completely emptied out and ready for redevelopment.
Construction on the new hospital expected to break ground next January. DeMottis says IU Health should have the new facility completed in 2020. An artist's renderings of the new IU Health Bloomington Hospital and Indiana University Academic Health Sciences Building will be available on WFHB's website after this broadcast.
Investing in quality pre-K and celebrating Bloomington's bicentennial are two new priorities in the city's proposed budget for fiscal year 2018. Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton and Controller Jeff Underwood introduced the budget on Monday night in the first of four budget hearings scheduled for this week. The city plans to invest $100,000 next year in quality early childhood education. Hamilton said the community's success depends in part on its children getting a solid early start.
Every dollar initially invested in early education programs for children from low-income families is estimated to generate $4 to $11 in economic benefits in a child's lifetime. Participating children in quality childcare have a higher rate of finishing high school and college, score better on tests, request less public assistance, and enter the workforce at higher pay rates and higher tax brackets than peers without similar opportunities.
Monroe County is one of 15 counties that were declared eligible in June to participate in the state's On My Way Pre-K program. Hamilton says 300 to 400 children have been identified in the city as potentially benefiting from participating in pre-K programs. Hamilton also said $250,000 is earmarked for events and projects related to the city's bicentennial next year. According to Hamilton, the city's 2018 budget maintains many priorities set in 2017, including affordable housing, economic health, and public safety. The city is dedicating $125,000 toward continuing public safety projects recommended by the Downtown Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force.
You will also see major investments in the basic public safety infrastructure of our city, our police and fire departments. 9 new positions are added to the police department, including 6 in the dramatically overstretched dispatch center and funding to support 3 new officers on the street, including 1 additional downtown resource officer to expand that very effective program.
Hamilton said the city plans to invest more than $80 million in city infrastructure over the next 3 years.
Including Switchyard Park, the Trades District, solar energy, trails and paths, intersections and sidewalks, existing parks, and existing water and sewer lines. This unprecedented level of basic investment in public infrastructure reflects our collective commitment to doing the basics right, maintaining and enhancing those foundational assets of our community.
Hamilton said although property tax revenues are projected to rise over the next year, the city won't benefit from that growth.
This really is the first year that we're seeing a significant impact from the constitutional property tax caps that have been placed and that have been hurting many cities for several years. This year, the projection is we will lose $1 million of that tax increase to the constitutionally required property tax caps.
The city's 2018 proposed budget assumes no growth in income tax revenues. The budget can be viewed at bloomington.in.gov/city/budget.
Heavier than usual traffic this week in Bloomington. Today is the official move-in day for Indiana University students. At least 1,500 students are slotted to move into resident halls today alone, and resident halls open at 8 a.m. this morning. The traffic and moving trucks should continue through the rest of the weekend. This weekend, classes for the 2017-18 school year begin on Monday. The rest of this week marks Welcome Week, an opportunity for students to get accustomed to the Bloomington campus. Freshman induction ceremonies took place earlier today at the IU Auditorium. A culture fest is slotted for tomorrow night at the IU Auditorium and Showalter Fountain. That should be followed Friday night with a pep rally at Memorial Stadium. IU police officers are expected to be stationed at several intersections in order to manage traffic around residence halls. And IUPD is warning drivers to look out for adjusted traffic patterns throughout this week on IU's campus.
The Bloomington Plan Commission declined to approve a development proposal from Annex Student Living on Monday night. Commissioners said the developer had significant changes to make before its plan for a mixed-use building at Grant and Third Streets could be approved. Annex Student Living proposed a mixed-use building project for the corner of Third and Grant earlier this year. The two buildings are projected to be 4 stories tall, with residential units on top and commercial space for restaurants on the bottom. The project, which Annex staff said was meant to encourage pedestrian traffic in Bloomington's downtown, was met with criticism by some commission members who said they thought the design is currently, quote, cold and unwelcoming to pedestrians, unquote. Plan Commission President Joe Hoffman said despite objections of plan commissioners, he believes the proposed condominiums have merit.
I think that the most recent proposal, the one that we saw last night, is a proposal that does a lot to try to make Grant Street in that block interesting. Sidewalk patios for the restaurants that will be built on the ground floor on both sides of Grant. It's really designed to take the 4th Street pedestrian sort of oriented restaurant row and kind of turn the corner and come down Grant to 3rd Street.
Still, the project faces hurdles. Currently, it doesn't meet several city ordinance standards. The buildings are projected to be 58 feet tall at their highest, 18 feet above the allowed maximum height. The project also has only 52 parking spots for 107 bedrooms, although some commissioners said they thought residents, especially students, may not need a car since they were within short walking distance from IU and downtown.
It's literally one block from a campus building and two blocks from a major campus building. So if you're going to have a student-oriented development, much better to put it very close to the university so that people don't have to drive and they can walk to school and back.
Annex Student Living said its inability to meet certain city standards was due to the fact that the site itself is in a challenging location. Steep grades, the developer claims, make window placement and pedestrian-friendly design more difficult. Hoffman says that the commissioners have the option to decide next month whether or not Annex Student Living must meet city ordinances.
A number of aspects of this development that will require a decision by the commission on a waiver of a particular standard. And it'll be up to the commission at the next hearing or whenever the case comes to a final resolution, it'll be up to the commission to decide whether those waivers are appropriate in this case.
If the Plan Commission decides to approve the project, the developer will need to seek a certificate of appropriateness from the Historic Preservation Commission, since part of the project would be constructed within the historic district of Restaurant Row. Hoffman says that by the next Plan Commission meeting, the developer should have updates on how to make the 3rd Street portion of the project more pedestrian-friendly. The next Plan Commission meeting will be September 11th at 6 p.m. For WFHB News, I'm Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service, available at smithvillesecurity.com.
A shortage of bus drivers hampered MCCSC's rollout of the beginning of the school year last Wednesday. WFHB News Director Wes Martin spoke with MCCSC spokesman Andrew Clampett about what measures the school corporation is taking to resolve the ongoing bus driver shortages.
Difficulties with bus contractor Auxilio Services delayed students getting to and from school last week. Auxilio, which was awarded a $2.2 million contract with the Monroe County Community School Corporation, had originally bid to provide 42 bus routes. But on Tuesday night of last week, the day before MCCSC schools opened, the company alerted MCCSC that they only had 18 drivers. MCCSE spokesperson Andrew Clampett said that wasn't the only thing that went wrong on Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, as of the first day of school on Wednesday, August 9th, we had kind of a few things that caught us off guard. You know, one was our Here Comes the Bus tracking app was not displaying the correct buses or routes, and so or times, rather. And so with the inaccuracies of that reporting, folks didn't know where their bus was, or if they did know that the bus was correct, it wasn't showing that the GPS was in the correct location. So we had to shut down that service the first day of school, and a lot of families rely on that. Kind of coupled along with that is our late bus and bus change text messaging service, where we text families when their bus has been subbed out for a different bus number. That communication tool was down also. And then the third, which is kind of the major one, which we were prepared for with subs, was the shortage of bus drivers that we experienced from one of our contractors. And we had a pool of sub drivers, all licensed and certified, ready in the event that we did have a shortage. And when we did, we ran those routes.
Clampett said Auxilio's driver shortage led to MCCSC drivers having to double up on routes, delaying students getting to and from school. Clampett said the school corporation had been working with Auxilio to make sure enough drivers were available, and since Auxilio is not able to fulfill its contractual obligations, MCCSC said they're looking for additional drivers to shore up their routes for the rest of this school year.
You know, certainly it was not ideal, the first day of school. But you know, we did have our sub pool ready, and they stepped in and filled those empty routes. And all of that's spelled out in the contract in terms of if they do X, Y happens. If they do Y, X happens. You know, if they run the routes, they get this. If they don't, you know, this happens. All those details are in the contract. And again, we expect them to fully comply to their contractual obligation part of that contract. And that's where we're at. We're still working with them very closely each day. They have reported that they have several routes or several drivers in the training and certification process. And, you know, again, we're making preparations ourselves. You know, we're continually telling people that if you're interested in becoming a bus driver, please look into it. You know, it's something that is a very appealing position to folks who are, you know, students at Ivy Tech, you know, possibly newly retirees. You know, maybe they have a CDL and they're looking for, you know, full-time benefits. Those are things that are appealing as running a bus driver. You know, there's some vacation and holiday attractions worked into the contract. And so becoming an MCCSC bus driver is certainly a solution to the shortage. You know, again, we would encourage folks who are interested in it to apply and, you know, go to our website and look into that. But a bus driver shortage throughout the year is not something that's new. You know, we have been experiencing these shortages for, you know, several years now. And, you know, that's just the nature of kind of the turnover of the bus driver position. And we're not alone in that shortage.
Muncie Community Schools ran into the same troubles with Auxilio a week before MCCSC's start date, with parents calling 911 and buses dropping kids off late and in the wrong locations. Muncie canceled the first week of school in order to get their bus routes figured out. When questioned whether or not MCCSC should have seen the bus trouble coming, Clampett said the two school districts are not comparable.
We are a completely different school corporation and setup than Muncie. You know, we do all of our routes in-house. You know, I can't speak for the particulars of why they experienced the transportation troubles that they experienced. I can't speak for Muncie. I can speak for Monroe County. And a week before school was not the first report that we had had from Auxilio. We'd been working with them closely all summer on the number of drivers they had, you know, and so we were making preparations well before the week of school. Again, we're going back to the late spring and the start of the summer on when our preparations began for the first day of school this year. And so that's why our sub pool was so large, because we were ready to go for the first day of school. Now, you know, in terms of the overall reporting of their numbers to us, you know, that number that was talked about, those 32 routes, that was reported, you know, really a week before school, changed in terms of the number of actual drivers that were ready the day before school. At either number, we were ready with our sub pool. And that's why, again, I go back to this always. We're always looking for, you know, experienced and qualified drivers to fill those bus driver roles.
Clampett said that MCCSC has not yet refined its bidding process to make sure that companies like Auxilio, which aren't ready to fulfill their contracts, don't take bids.
As of right now, there is not a bid process open. And so, you know, in theory, yes, you always want to learn from any previous wrongdoing. And so I can't speak specifically to the specs that were offered, you know, that may be offered in a future bid scenario as it's not started and there's not one upcoming. We've got the current year underway. And if and when those bid specs are opened up, you know, that would be something if you've looked at historically when bids are sent out, they're different all the time because of state standards of our own MCCSC specs that we require. And so I guess the answer is yes. You know, we're always looking to improve and to transport our student population as safely as possible. And all of those things will be taken into consideration. But we're not talking about the bid process right now. What we're talking about is the current shortage of drivers and what are we doing to address that. And again, it's making the hiring of those MCCSC bus drivers as appealing as possible.
Clampett said that MCCSC will continue to look for additional bus drivers and thanked MCCSC families for their patience thus far.
You know, it's certainly not ideal, like we said, the way the start of this school year started. And what we would try to stress to folks is, you know, first of all, thank you for your patience. You know, this has not been ideal. This is not what you plan for when you go into contracting these routes, you expect that vendor is going to meet their contractual obligation. And so you come up with these backup plans. And that's what we did in this case, is we had those backup drivers ready to go. And our active plan right now is we're making becoming an MCCSC bus driver as appealing as possible, because that's what we have control over.
That was MCCSC spokesperson Andrew Clampett speaking about the ongoing bus driver shortage at MCCSC. For WFHB News, I'm Wes Martin.
Support for WFHB comes from Bloomington Pride, presenting Pride Fest August 26 in downtown Bloomington. The festival celebrates LGBTQ community and culture and features a Pride rally, education workshops, live performances, family activities, and local vendors. Details on Facebook and at bloomingtonpride.org/pridefest.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Well, it looks like something we told you about staying safe online wasn't quite true. And this is important because the Better Business Bureau reports that over half, 54%, of all the scams reported to them use the Internet to target their victims. The advice you've heard from us and others about creating a strong password needs to be changed. The idea that you should mix up letters, numbers, and special characters isn't as strong as we thought. That approach was established back in 2003 by a publication from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and the guy who wrote it, Bill Burr, now says, quote, "Much of what I did, I now regret," end quote. It turns out that a passphrase, all letters, real words, can be much harder for a computer to hack and much easier for you to remember. Of course, it needs to be a long phrase. Its very length is the real key to security, and not something famous or commonly used. To be or not to be probably isn't very secure, but "Everyone knew her as Nancy" would be better and easy to remember if you're a Fire Sign Theater fan. Now that we've straightened that out, here's another piece of new advice for online safety. Log off. Most of us stay logged in to our email and social media accounts, sometimes on several devices at the same time. Bad idea. All these things use something called OAuth, O-A-U-T-H, as a way to connect you to other services once you've logged into your account. It sends a bit of code called a token to the other website that allows them to do things in your account. The crooks have found ways to steal these tokens, and if they've got yours, they can mess with your stuff on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or any of the others whenever you're logged in. So when you finish doing email or something on those sites, log off, and log in again when you want to check again. It's more trouble, but it's a lot safer. Stealing enough info to let the bad guys into your online world is most often done by a fake email. Last May's gigantic Google hack was done that way, and right now there's a doozy going around for WhatsApp users. WhatsApp used to charge a subscription, but now it's free. The crooks send you an email asking you to renew your subscription. Just enter your bank account information, please. Any email that wants you to click on a link or open an attachment needs to be checked out very carefully. You have to be absolutely certain that they came from someone you know and trust. If there's even the slightest doubt, email back and ask, or do something daring. Call them on the telephone. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Arjun Balasandaram, Cole Stinson, and Lindsay Jones, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Sarah Vaughn.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Thank you for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
And you can be part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. Stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.